What you're about to listen to is a very early recording of the 4F Film Review Podcast featuring myself, Shay, and my good friend, Eric. This episode was recorded before we had hosting, chemistry, on-mic skills, or even a proper name for the podcast. Please keep all of these things in mind and try to excuse any audio or flow issues that may occur as a result of listening to two bozos talk about movies and cut their teeth in the realm of podcast production. I guarantee you that it will at least be more entertaining than all of those podcasts hosted by celebrities that are neither funny nor interesting. Enjoy. Audio issues be damned. It's Eric and Shay watch movies. You've got movies.
Indeed we do.
We have one movie.
We've got a movie.
What was the movie?
I don't have a...
You've got mail. That was my...
Yeah, you've got mail.
That's a... Okay, we'll leave the impressions to me, but we will be talking about our impressions of the movie.
Yes.
Which were... So background, 99?
This is 1999.
Meg Ryan.
It's Meg Ryan. It's Tom Hanks. If you are alive in 1999 and have any interest in romantic comedy, you are, like, so excited.
You're excited that you're listening to this episode of this podcast.
These guys, they're going to get into a rom-com.
I liked this movie more than I liked Armageddon. It's a low bar.
Yeah. I think there's a similar amount of soul that goes into this one.
Michael Bay directed this film.
Not quite.
My favorite scene was when Tom Hanks got blown out of the building. The Fox books exploded and he walked away from the explosion.
Would Tom Hanks deserve to be able to walk away from the explosion of his,
no,
of his corporate book chain?
No, because he's a terrible person, and this movie does nothing at all at any point to redeem him, except he is nice sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting because this film, you pointed it out about right in the middle of the second act of, like, man, these two actors, their back should be tired from carrying this whole thing, because it is
about as bare bones of a script as we've consumed so far. Like, even the Meg had, like, plot beats. This didn't really have that. It was just sort of like, here's a structure of what we think a movie could be. Yeah. We've got Meg and Tom attached to the project, so now we have to make this thing. Oh crap, we ran out of time to write interesting characters, right, or motivations or side characters or side stories or anything.
Yeah,
making the movie, damn
we're
it.
We're going to make them carry this. However, there's some problems with that, because if they're going to carry this movie, they should, like, have a good repartee and relationship through the movie.
They should interact in, like, meaningful ways.
Yeah, and in ways that, like, make you feel like a sense of human attachment, but they don't like each other at all.
But Eric, I wanted it to be you. That line made the entire movie okay, right? Right?
I mean, right, except that she should have, if that was true, she should have just gone, she shouldn't have been at the park at all. She should have just walked back right down the street and been like, oh, wait, you know what? Yeah, I should try this with you. No.
Oh, shoot.
No.
So, I'm sorry. Spoiler warning.
Oh, spoilers.
They end up together. Or at least they seem to end up together at the end of the movie.
Yeah, they kiss.
They do kiss.
Yeah.
A big deal. I've kissed a lot of people. And, you know, we're not together.
That's telling, dude. Watch out.
I didn't say who, and I didn't say the number.
All right. It's a lot of people.
Well, it's a lot of, you know, the lot can be anywhere from 4 to 9.
Okay.
Per the dictionary?
I suppose. Yeah.
You know what they say? 3's a party, 4's a lot.
Right.
Oh, anyway. So this movie was not great. I think we can get that out of the way pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we're two men in our late to mid 30s and 40s, and, you know, what are we doing watching a romantic comedy from 1998? Why is it called You've Got Mail? Because they connected on America Online, and my favorite part of this movie was watching them connect to America Online and, like, the, you know, the waiting sounds and those little nostalgic noises and. Yeah, it's the best part.
Yep. That's nostalgia.
But we watched it because of its connection to Meg, naturally. Last week we watched Meg.
Meg Ryan is the most famous Meg. I mean, well, I think she's more famous than the Shark.
Not if you ask Jason Statham.
I mean,
he would say, Jason Statham would say, "Oi, I don't even read them books. I have to go to the ocean.
Go roundhouse kick a shark. A prehistoric shark that to know was down there.
There's something down there. Fox Books is coming to town.
He's coming for the shop around the corner.
The shark around the corner.
I mean, jeez. Yep. So this film is about books, or exposing people's enjoyment of books, you know, for the love of the small bookstore, which Meg Ryan owns, versus Tom Hanks, who's the son of an awful family.
A mogul.
A book mogul.
Horny moguls.
Horny moguls. It's just
There is a great subplot. I mentioned that there's not many subplots. There is one, like very early in the movie, they're trying to warm you up to Tom Hanks's very cold exterior, and they set him up with these two kids, like palling around town and like hanging out at the fun fair and doing all this stuff. And they announce to the world that the girl, the like 10-year-old girl, is his aunt, and that the kid is his brother, because of his father's weird escapades with women.
Yeah, well, you know, you get married to a younger woman, and clearly that happened with both his grandfather and his father. They both married younger women and had other kids, and that's why he's got these weird age gap relationships with these young kids. And it's just like, yeah, so he just lives in this family of like aristocratic booksellers that are just scumbags.
But like so much of the movie, it was all just like kind of a throwaway gag at most, you know. Movie was just thrown away.
You have the father, then later he talks about all the relations he had with all his nannies and stuff.
He was like, "Oh yeah, I loved when Nanny Justine, she would do that thing," and you know, Tom Hanks was like, "Yeah, Dad, you tell him," yeah. Or something. I don't know what was happening in that scene. It was two guys getting drunk on a father and son drinking on a boat.
It's weird because I think there's enough people who, if they were asked, would not have absorbed Tom Hanks as a scumbag. They just think, oh, he's just businessman. He's big businessman or whatever. But he's kind of a jerk. And, you know, and he comes from a family of jerks, clearly. It's just like, oh, you're just supposed to like him because it's Tom Hanks. It's just, and it's 1999. He has, like, he's at his peak in terms of likability. So that even as this awful character, he still ends up being a protagonist somehow.
Do me a favor, move the mic a little closer to you. Yeah, and it's weird, and I commented maybe many times during the movie, like all the things that could not have happened in this movie had they made it today, and this kind of cold, calculating male lead would not exist in a movie made in 2025 because it's just not acceptable to be that way anymore. It wasn't acceptable to be that way back then either, but it was painted in this light of like, oh, it's fun and it's light and it's bubbly and it's really kind of somewhat toxic behavior if you look at it.
It's the late 90s. Yeah. I don't think we'd even had the dot-com crash yet, so there's a lot of people who are a little naive about like the way the economy works and business and,
you know, and for a movie,
a rational exuberance still.
One of the things that we discussed coming into this movie, like, what are we going to look for? We're going to look for tropes and we're going to look for references to the early internet. And I was disappointed kind of on both fronts that this movie didn't have a ton of tropes.
No.
And it certainly didn't have a lot of references to the early internet,
no,
Web
1.0. Although we did get that amazing opening sequence.
Yeah, using Virtua Fighter, sub Virtua Fighter par 3D modeling of cars and people and trees and houses. It looked awesome. Yeah. If it was 1993.
I mean, yeah, but like people were really, people would have still been reasonably impressed with that.
That was like the masses' understanding of what computer graphics were capable of in 1999.
Exactly. You
know? But anyone who knows anything about anything would look at that now and say, wow, even for 1999, that looks really bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a thing, like, especially in early internet culture, talking about the internet in movies or... It had to be so dumbed down. It gets even worse. Like you, The Net with Sandra Bullock. That's a film that we may have to visit.
Maybe that's our next film.
Actually, it's not.
It's not. I forget everything. I have forgotten our next movie, yeah, and Eric is going to tell me at the end of the show. Continue.
Yeah, but you know that's all right. But The Net had similar like. Just like real dumb level of how the internet works. Similarly, Hackers.
But nobody called it the World Wide Web in this movie. No. Nobody called it the information superhighway.
Nobody was surfing the net.
Nobody surfed the net. There was a character very early who blamed the internet for the downfall, or computers for the downfall of human existence. He's like, this firm had to uninstall Solitaire and all the computers because nobody's got any work done in 6 weeks. Isn't technology the worst?
Yeah, I know. He was...
Later, he had a rant against VCRs.
Yeah, I'm upset that he didn't scumbag out and be with the TV woman who he clearly... He was anti-technology, but he clearly fetishized being on television.
We are referring to one of the romantic partners of...
Greg Kinnear.
Plagued by Greg Kinnear, Meg Ryan's other romantic partner, who she is with for the majority of the movie until they have the world's most amicable breakup of all time in some restaurant, like after they see a movie.
I really thought he was going to say that he was cheating on her, but it was just like, oh, I'm just not in love with you. I'm not either. Okay.
She even asked, is there someone else like kind of leading him towards the woman that he had been flirting with earlier in the movie? He's like, no, like I like this one woman, but you know, I haven't done anything because we're together. And it's like, okay, well, that's not interesting at all.
Yeah, I know. There should be. Why is there some conflict?
Yeah, there's no drama, no conflict. Everyone's happy all the time.
Yeah, there's no heat. No heat. Come on. You got to like that. That's where. If this were professional wrestling, you hit somebody with the chair, and then you feel bad for Meg Ryan for getting hit with the chair.
Are you saying that Greg Kinnear should have whipped out a kendo stick and just started walloping her until...
Metaphorically, yes.
What would the ref bump be in that situation to have allowed that to happen?
Oh, I'm not sure, but, you know, I mean, he would have maybe thrown salt in her eyes. Or in
poison
the
mist.
Eyes. I don't... Yes, who knows? But in any case.
No, I like this tangent. Let's continue.
But yeah.
Maybe a fireball that Zelina Vega passes him through the audience.
But yeah, it was a poor breakup. And then similarly, Tom Hanks just decides to break up with Parker Posey, who seems fine or whatever. There's no chemistry between them, but he just like. Breaks up with her.
They got stuck in an elevator, and
she seemed kind of awful. But he knows that he's kind of awful too. But
they're arguably a better match for each other than the other two.
Yeah, exactly. But he's, I think in Tom Hanks' case, there is the opposites attract thing where he knows he's a scumbag and. He's meeting her at her lowest economic point.
He ran her out of business just so he could get with her.
Yes.
Is the crux of the plot here.
Exactly. Yeah, he puts her out of business, and then she's vulnerable so that he can just sweep in there and... Oof. And
he's setting her up by... Because
he knows... That's the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The romantic...
If you haven't seen this movie, following the plot that we are describing, I guarantee you it is not as complicated as we are making it sound.
Yeah. they don't even have like a meet cute moment or whatever. It's just like, oh, she's in this pen pal relationship online with, you know, an anonymous person who presumably she knows is a man. But other than that, they don't know anything about each other. But it happens to be Tom Hanks. Who knew?
Yeah, out of the 300 you know? Million people that had access to AOL at that time, it just happened to be the same guy in the same city. Most coincidental.
I mean, she did. I mean, his handle did include New York City. So, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody lives like, in New York. So that's a very small pool.
Well, I mean, it's only about like 11 million people or something like that.
Okay, well, her handle was Shop Girl. She could have also been anywhere.
She had a sense that it wasn't anybody in the world. It was at least somebody in her city. She didn't know.
Why would she
much.
Know that? What, they don't share personal details. That's the whole point.
It's NYC. I mean, why would you have NYC?
Okay, yeah, that's okay. Yes, that's fair. That's okay. That does make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for explaining the plot of this movie.
Thank you. And the use of handles. The one thing I did get excited for was we did have, in 1999, we had exposure to AOL Instant Messenger. I did not know that it existed yet, but I was glad to know that it did. Because by 2003, 2004, jeez.
We had all moved on from AIM for sure.
How everybody was using.
What are some of your all-time favorite instant messengers? Like now we're all pretty much on Discord. And by the time that people are hearing this podcast, we've probably had a thriving community springing up around this podcast. We probably have our own Discord server sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, gosh. Are we going to be making medical drops?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's instead, you know, HIMS.com talk about our presenting sponsor, HIMS.com, where you can get lots of
Blue Chew,
and ready-made meals and erections right at your service.
I mean, we're open for business. That's what we're putting out there.
Right? I will sell myself to anybody who will have me.
If we can make $3 an episode off of this by shilling stuff to you guys,
we'll be making more than Meg Ryan's business was in this movie.
I mean, obviously, nobody wants kids' books anymore. Not if they can buy them for 35% off down the street.
I mean, it is interesting.
It doesn't matter, Meg Ryan, if you're wearing a hat and reading storybooks to kids. The marketplace has told you, you're done.
It is interesting that this movie didn't have that sort of subplot of small business owner rises up to defeat big business owner. No, business wins.
Yeah, big business wins. And actually, they didn't have to have her go out of business. That's a thing, too. They could have not had that conflict of like him putting you out of business. It could have been like, oh, there's a conflict and oh, this is a contentious relationship. But they could have shown that like she was making these little efforts to like endear customers and whatnot. But they were like, nope.
But like
market.
so many other
wants the lowest price.
Like so many other things, they just kind of threw that away. Like they threw the opportunity for an actual story away in favor of this relationship, which is not a real relationship.
No. And you didn't really the way how they sold this movie to audiences in 1999 is again it's Meg Ryan, it's Tom Hanks, and they had done two movies together previously. One, not nearly as well commercially successful, although kind of low-key awesome, Joe and the Volcano.
Wait, what?
yeah.
Which, who was the Volcano? Tom Hanks as the Volcano.
He's Joe.
Oh, Meg Ryan as the Volcano.
No, the Volcano is the Volcano. He's going to be sacrificed. It's a
what?
Thing.
Really?
Yes.
I think I know what our next movie is going to be.
I mean, no, not quite.
Okay, what was the other movie?
But,
people know the other
movie.
But
the other movie that everybody would know is Sleepless in Seattle, which is maybe one of the most revered rom-coms ever. A huge box office success. And people bought it, loved that because of the chemistry between Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. And we didn't really get any of that until like the last 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah, it was weirdly absent from the majority of the movie, which is, yeah, again, ostensibly a rom-com, which should have tropes that would be bringing these characters together. Right. Your meet-cutes, like, your big argument in the middle of the movie.
And like they meet each other early in the film, and they quickly have like an antagonistic relationship, and not an antagonistic relationship in a way that's like, oh, that... There's still something kind of meet cute or
there's chemistry there, yeah, or
there's some sparks or something. No, yeah. None of that. There's none of that. But she loves this anonymous dude on the internet who she keeps talking to, and she even keeps talking to him eventually. Eventually, Tom Hanks becomes aware that it's Meg Ryan is who he's been communicating with online. But she doesn't realize it's him. It's so weird because it's like you don't get anything out of it.
It's almost impressive the way that the movie manages to do what it does without relying on rom-com tropes, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to find ways to give it credit because we've been dumping on it the entire time, and it's not terrible. It's just not.
No, it's a very replacement level movie if you wanted to watch a rom-com and didn't want to think about anything, and hey, you like Meg Ryan and you like Tom Hanks, throw it on.
Is it good for, so it's a replacement level movie, is it good for a rom-com? Because like I think it's easy to say that rom-coms are like probably lower level.
There's a lot better rom-coms. I mean, there's,
I haven't even seen a lot of rom-coms, and I can think of a few at least that I would say are significantly better than this.
Yeah, yeah. There's any number of rom-coms that would be better or more interesting even to put on, that like that aren't even necessarily good but are fun or more interesting in a way, and this is lacking.
And it didn't need to be a rom-com. It could have had a romance in it, right? But like there are so many other stories they could have told. The idea of focusing on this primarily antagonistic relationship throughout the movie only to just throw it all away with about 20 minutes to go and then say, but wait, no, we really like each other after all. It kind of feels like I had a 100 minutes of my life wasted. It's a 2-hour movie and 100 minutes of it are just like, whatever, don't worry about it. It's all going to, they're going to end up together. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate because like even some of the ancillary cast are good actors. Like you got Parker Posey, Greg Kinnear, early Dave Chappelle.
I actually thought Dave Chappelle was pretty good in this.
Yeah, like, even though his character was...
one note as you get.
Yeah.
I mean, they all were, but...
Yeah, yeah. But like, and we get Gene Stapleton, Edith Bunker, who also is in there. It's so you've got some people who, like, you could attach something onto, but there's just, like, there's nothing.
$65 million well spent entirely on the cast and on not much else, except for the madcap comedy soundtrack, which was veering all over the road.
Gosh. I mean, we did get Randy Newman finally.
Yeah, Randy Newman was in it, which was awesome. I would have preferred Short People because that would have made about as much sense as any other decision this movie made creatively, but...
We're both, like, professional film critics.
Yeah, you could just tell by listening to this that we're very well educated on other movies and prepared. Exactly. We're prepared with examples and not just sitting in these chairs and just talking about whatever comes into our head.
Not
yeah,
not just talkers on the internet.
No, I gotta bleep that.
But, you know, whatever.
Cyber sex.
Yes, we did get it cyber sex.
By the way, this movie was rated PG. I looked it up. I didn't know that you could say shit in a PG movie in 1999. I thought that was long.
I didn't catch a shit.
Oh, yeah, someone said shit at one point. Uh-oh. Yeah. No, right. No F's. No, no C's.
Right.
None of the fun ones.
No. But, none of the good ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right.
That's it. It's a mid-tier swear. With that, in terms of content of this podcast, I think we've probably run its course. We could go into my favorite topic, which is ranking of swear words. But instead of doing that, I think we will close out by Eric revealing to me what our next film will be, presumably next week.
Well, we are continuing on our Meg arc.
Megan Fox?
No.
Oh, that would be Fox Books?
That's Megan. No,
well, Meg Fox. You could shorten it if you want to.
We aren't cheating.
Meg.
So we. No. Stop.
The Meg 2.
No. We go to a co-star, Meg Foster, in the film starring Roddy Piper, known as They Live.
Oh my God! I didn't realize we had decided upon this.
Yes, we had.
I am thrilled.
Can't remember anything?
No, I can't. But this is exciting because apart from Jaws, we've only watched one movie that I've actually liked, and I love They Live. I'm very excited
John Carpenter.
About this.
At some of his finest.
Everyone's at their finest in this thing, if you haven't watched They Live, run. Stop walking.
Yes.
Go.
Yeah, you should, because this is going to be an awesome review next week. We're going to love this one.
I already know what I want to talk about. Like, I could spend easily 5 minutes on the thing that I really want to talk about.
Yeah, I know some things I want to talk about, too.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's going to be a fun one.
All right. Well, they live, and so do we, even though we watch this, and life goes on, whether you're on the internet or not, or just tying a bow on it.
Goodbye.
Oh, that was one thing we forgot to mention. So we talked about... There would have been a great natural ending point for the podcast, but we do have to talk about this. So we mentioned not enough internet references. You said at the very end of the movie... Goodbye, like, you know, signing out of AOL would do. And they didn't do it. They didn't take the opportunity. Come on.
They messed up. It's, you know, Hollywood missing its mark. Part 1,372.